This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Architect and urban designer Frank Russell has spent 25 years leading efforts to promote progressive development in Cincinnati. As the director of the University of Cincinnati's Niehoff Urban Studio and the Community Design Center, he oversees students engaged in community-based urban design and architecture projects. He served on the Cincinnati Park Board and the Cincinnati Recreation Commission, and he's currently a trustee of the Cincinnati Zoo, a board member of the Cincinnati Riverfront Advisory Council, and chair of the Urban Design Committee of AIA Cincinnati. And he joins us this afternoon to discuss the importance of city planning that encompasses and promotes biking and other healthy recreational activities. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Frank, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Now, why is providing bike lanes and bike paths and safe pedestrian access in a city where cars and buses dominate, why is this so important?
Well, let me say that bikes are a critical component, and I was introduced to the importance of bikes by Frank Henson, who you just had here on the radio. We were invited to look at Wasson Way by Queen City Bike, and later by Jay Andrus with his organization, and we quickly learned that bikes are an emerging important modal component of our transportation system. But I want to say that it's just one component of many, and the current thinking and planning and city development now includes a concept called complete streets, in which we include all modes of transportation with equal importance, and assuming we can design an environment that can accommodate all of them, that includes pedestrian, bikes, of course, automobiles, buses, and hopefully now light rail and rail transit in the city.
So it sounds like you're talking about we're looking at ways so all these different modes of transportation can coexist and not get in each other's way.
Exactly. It's very complex. I mean, bikes have been set aside for a long time and are now being reintroduced. And in our city, rail is being reintroduced. So now we have a very complex melange of movement options in the city, all of them equally important. Bikes are something that people have control of. They can buy their own vehicle fairly affordably and move about the city on their own. The other means, of course, are a little bit more difficult to control as an individual, but we like to design and maintain an urban environment that can allow all of them to move around in equal measure.
How much more difficult is it to redesign to meet these goals versus from starting from scratch in newer communities? I mean, if you have an older community, is it tougher for them to start moving in this direction than it is for a newer community?
And even harder for us, since Cincinnati is an older community, because Cincinnati is sort of contained within this very confined urban basin between the hillside and the river, and we find that our city blocks are very tight, and our streets are even tighter. We have a 66-foot right-of-way width in Cincinnati, which is unusually small compared to other cities like Indianapolis, to have very wide streets. So given the amount of space we've turned over to the automobile since mid-century, last century, we now find that we have to carve out of the 66 feet enough space for pedestrians, buses, rail, cars, and now bikes. So it becomes more and more difficult for the older cities. Of course, if you're planning from scratch, you design your streets to accommodate everything in equal measure. So it's got to be a lot easier to do that.
Why are Cincinnati streets so narrow? Is it just because of the age of the city?
It's a function of the geography, because we are very constrained in the city basin. People often don't realize that in the 19th century, the hillsides were a significant barrier, of course, as the river was, to extending our development pattern or settlement pattern across the valley. We also came with some precedents from the old world. The good Germans brought planning principles that relied on a very much smaller scale layout. We're an older city, and we submitted to those principles in the early development of the city.
Now, we had a caller in the first segment who was impressed with Amsterdam and other European cities, saying how they were more bike-friendly and bike-centric. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are in comparing those European cities to Cincinnati.
In the 19th century, we evolved as a dense city in physical form. In the middle of the last century, of course, we cleared out the center city in terms of population. Many of our activity centers moved out to the suburbs, as well as our housing, and we found that our population was spread thinly, much more thinly across our geography, as it were. And we find that we don't have the density that we need to allow a reduction in the dependence on automobile transportation. Because of that, we have much more dependence on road infrastructure, and our ability to reduce auto use is limited to some extent. In Europe, of course, we have tremendous density. We have a mix of uses that are in close proximity, less need for independent travel by car, better ability to reintegrate or continue integrating bicycles in that environment.
And as part of it too, Frank, that Europe had a head start on us in terms of their cities are much older, so they had people who were riding bikes, commuting by bikes years before cars were introduced. That was part of the transportation structure, so they're just more used to it.
Of course, and that is also a product of the density and proximity of these different uses that make it much less necessary to travel long distances. The bike's very suitable for that.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join in our conversation. Ken, the idea of working with this coexistence of all the different modes of transportation, is that something that can help ease traffic congestion and reduce that problem?
Oh, sure. As long as people do have a real viable option there. And that's why the importance of developing the bicycle infrastructure in Cincinnati is critical, because at the moment we have some infrastructure, and as Frank says, it continues to grow. But until we get something really robust, I think people feel very confined to the automobile and very limited access to the transit infrastructure that we have as well.
We will continue our conversation with Frank Russell, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest right now, Frank Russell, who is director of the University of Cincinnati's Niehoff Urban Studio and the Community Design Center. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Eric in Clifton joins us right now. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having this discussion. The bikes on the UC campus are free. I think the bikes downtown that are free, or not that are free, that are rented.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, are they free? And is that something that would be feasible in the greater Cincinnati area to have free bikes available for use?
So is that something that would work here? Are you familiar with any of that?
I'm sorry, I can't say much about it. I believe they have the bike share in Europe that I have experience in one or two cities. I do believe you have to put down some kind of security in the form of a credit card or something to have access to those, but I'm not familiar with any other free systems.
Yeah, I know in Cincinnati, Red Bike is a rental. You run it for a certain period of time. So, Eric, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. 513-419-7100. And if you'd like to join us, and you know, I should say Red Bike has exceeded expectations. Would you say that's a pretty fair assessment?
It really has. It's a wonderful system. I'd like to see it integrated with the University of Cincinnati system, by the way, if anybody's listening up there. We're not allowed to have a station on campus. We really need one.
Well, and that, I think that's part of the key to the whole thing, is getting as many stations around the city as you possibly can to make that kind of thing work. Again, 513-419-7100. So, Frank, what factors do you have to take into consideration to make, say, downtown Cincinnati safer and more convenient for bikers to use on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I've been having a conversation lately about trying to reorient people to focus further away from the downtown area and even over the Rhine. You know, what makes Cincinnati great is not only our downtown corporate engine and our over the Rhine living situation, but our neighborhoods, what we call streetcar suburbs, things like Mount Lookout Square, Hyde Park Square, College Hill. Those neighborhoods that aren't so far out as the suburbs, close in, we consider them, they are within the city suburbs, and how these communities can be revitalized, redeveloped where they need to into, as the city plan calls for, centers of activity that contain the mix of uses that provide for all the needs of the neighborhood that surrounds them so that the transportation is local. It's great that we commute. I'd like to see people commuting shorter distances to their neighborhood business districts. In this way, the biking infrastructure can be developed on a smaller scale and doesn't need to be developed citywide. I'm certainly all for the citywide development, but if we can spread our density, concentrate our density to these neighborhood centers and develop the biking infrastructure to and from them, I think that that will benefit the city as a whole, in addition to trying to make that happen in the city center as well.
Let's talk with Stephen Westchester. Good afternoon, Steve.
Afternoon. I really appreciate the topic. I recall many years ago that Cincinnati had a fairly thriving two-layer system, a skywalk, which worked really well for a while, and then when I wasn't paying attention, it seemed to disappear. I wondered, why did that fail?
Any thoughts on that, Frank?
That is quite controversial in the urban design community. Some feel that it serves the downtown corporate culture very well. It allows office workers to move around easily, weather protected from their office desks to places where they can buy lunch and back. And that is very good for them. Others will say that it's too bad that those people couldn't be down at street level and patronizing shops and businesses that exist down there in addition to adding to the street life. I think that right now the remnants of the skywalk do have a value for some of the corporate citizens downtown. But the city, by and large, has had a policy of removing the skywalk where possible to promote the principle that I just mentioned, trying to get more people on the ground and contribute it to more contact at that level, more vitality in the street.
Is it possible it was ahead of its time? That's always the thought that runs through my head, is that maybe it was just too soon for it.
Well, it functions even better for corporate citizens in northern climates. In Cincinnati, it was sort of a temperate situation, the functionality of the skywalk as protection was not really defensible. It wasn't air conditioned, and parts of it are certainly as you enter buildings are, but in between it isn't. So that I think that it might have been an attempt to emulate what was seen as best practices in other more quote-unquote advanced cities. Might have been adopted as sort of a trend toward modernization that was an experiment that in the end I think wasn't entirely successful.
And as we finish up the segment here, Frank, tell us about the Niehoff Urban Studio and the Community Design Center, some of the projects you've been involved in.
Sure. The studio's been around since 2002, and we bring together diverse disciplines from the entire campus, although many of them are from the College of DAP, to work on urban design, urban planning projects directly with community stakeholders. And despite what you might think, there are not very many opportunities to bring together different disciplines up at the university and put them into service for real projects. So we've worked with more than 150 community groups around town to provide simulations and concepts for community groups to use as they try to advance their agenda.
What's the advantage of the interdisciplinary approach? Because you've got, journalism, political science, nursing, all kinds of students involved in this, don't you?
Well, it reflects what's happening in the real world. As anybody knows, you're never going to be able to address what we call these wicked problems from one disciplinary point of view, and you're obliged to work with partners, if not consultants, to solve the problems that confront you.
Frank, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Frank Russell is director of the University of Cincinnati's Niehoff Urban Studio and the Community Design Center.